Our gospel lesson is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. Joseph went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the word of the Lord. The prophet Micah predicted that the Messiah who would say to us, "I am the bread of life," would be born in Bethlehem, a name that means house of bread. Joseph and Mary were on their way to Bethlehem to comply with the requirements of the census. Our scripture passage tells us that they were engaged to be married, but a better term would be betrothed, because this was more than an engagement, but not quite what we would consider to be a full marriage. Nevertheless, Mary was with child. As the couple arrives in the city, the time comes for the child's arrival. The text describes the arrival in simple terms. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. There was no place for them. With these six words, Luke reveals the full impact of the birth of Jesus. It's a phrase that tells us a great deal about ourselves and about Jesus and about God's willingness to redeem us. There was no place for them. First of all, it says something about who we are. It speaks to the human condition. In Luke's account, the power of Caesar Augustus is contrasted with the weakness of the baby Jesus. But looks are deceiving. The firstborn of Mary is the very Son of God. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, creator of the universe, supreme ruler of all lives. On the night of Christmas Eve, many years ago, I had the privilege of being in Bethlehem to celebrate the birth of Christ. It was quite crowded. People were there from all around the world. I managed to get a seat in the front pew and sat next to a young woman who, like myself, was a college student studying and traveling overseas. During a pause in the service, I said, "Just think, all this fuss over a little baby." She turned, looked at me, and smiled and said, "No. All this fuss is over God." She was right. What do we have to contemplate this Christmas? God. nothing less than God. But this begs the question, if Jesus is the very Son of God, then how does he deserve to be received? Let me tell you. He deserves to have every person from every land come and worship him. He deserves to have every living creature in the universe come to his cradle's side and give him praise. He deserves to have creation itself cry, glory. Anything less than this would be an insult to his divine dignity. But how was he received? How was he welcomed? There was no place for them. Here's the great irony. When the Son of God came to earth, the Creator of the vast and immense universe, he couldn't even get a room. The inn that is mentioned in our text should not be taken as the equivalent of a five-star hotel or even an Airbnb, okay? Now, it was a guest house, but it would have been primitive, squalid, and dirty by our standards. Whether other relatives had arrived earlier and filled the place up, or Joseph and Mary were delayed for some reason, and so their room was given to another, we don't really know. But by the time they did arrive, there was no place for them except in the stable. This is suggested by the use of the word manger. A manger is an animal's feeding trough, which means that the family is in a stable, or more like a cave converted to that for animals. By the way, this is how we know how Joseph and Mary figured out Jesus' weight as an infant. Do you know how Mary and Joseph figured out Jesus' weight as an infant? They got away in a manger. Away in a manger. W-E-I-G-H. Okay, all right. The implied innkeeper in our story is not really the villain. But the innkeeper does represent us. Because like the innkeeper, we're too busy, too distracted to notice what is important. The Son of God was born in Bethlehem, unrecognized and unwelcome. Indeed, he was rejected throughout his ministry. He was driven out of his hometown, you may recall. His own family thought he was crazy. People at first liked the miracles, but then stayed away in droves when he began teaching about suffering and sacrifice. The religious leaders rejected his claims and began to hate him. It wasn't just Bethlehem. There was never any room for Jesus. As one commentator put it, when Christ first came among us, we pushed him into an outhouse, and we've done our best to keep him there ever since. The way Jesus was shoved aside should make us angry. But honestly, would our welcome have been any different? The Nativity shows us the human condition. It shows us that we've turned from God, that we have rejected God, but it also reminds us that we are in desperate need of God's help. What kind of welcome are you giving Jesus right now? Have you made room for him in your heart? Do you have a place for him in your daily routines? Is there space for him in your life? Jesus does not deserve to be shoved aside. He came to fill your life with mercy and grace. He came to set you free from sin. Now, in order to do that, he had to become one of us. The phrase, there was no place for them, not only tells us something about ourselves, it also tells us something about Jesus, specifically the humanity of Jesus. Do you believe in the humanity of Jesus? Like all births, his entrance into the world was both messy and undignified. Mary wiped him and wrapped him in bands of cloth and prayed with all her heart that the child would live. Kent Hughes puts it this way: imagine the sweat and pain and blood and cries as Mary reached up to the heavens for help. The earth was cold and hard. The smell of birth mixed with the stench of manure and acrid straw made a contemptible bouquet. Trembling carpenter's hands, clumsy with fear, grasped God's son slippery with blood, the baby's limbs waving helplessly as if falling through space, his face grimacing as he grasped and as he took in the cold air, and his cry pierced the night. The most popular Christmas carol of all time is Silent Night, but it is a highly romanticized account of the Nativity. As all parents of newborns know, there is no such thing as a silent night. Andrew Peterson has written a song called Labor of Love that is perhaps more realistic. It was not a silent night. There was blood on the ground. You could hear a woman cry in the alleyways that night on the streets of David's town. And the stable was not clean, and the cobblestones were cold. And little Mary, full of grace, with the tears upon her face, had no mother's hand to hold. Do you believe that the very Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, was once a babe in his mother's arms, nursing at her breast? This is what we mean by the incarnation. God became a flesh and blood human being. What it teaches us is this: God chose to save us, not from a distance, but came as close as possible to us and our condition. The phrase, "there was no place for them," tells us something about ourselves. It tells us something about Jesus. And it tells us something about God's willingness to redeem us. There is great humility here. Please understand, God is not just a bigger and better version of ourselves. God is altogether different. God's attributes are infinitely superior to our own. God is the creator. We're the creatures. For God to take on human flesh was an act of infinite humility. It was also an intentional act. Christ knew he could only save us by suffering and dying for our sins. He showed this from the beginning. The humility of his birth became the pattern of his entire life. The same baby that was wrapped in swaddling clothes would later become the body wrapped in a burial shroud. His humility became the basis for our salvation and also the basis for our response to him. We need to admit our need for God, believe that Jesus died for our sins and was raised from the dead, and then commit ourselves to him in humble service. Jesus tells us, "All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." And elsewhere he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There is divinity in humility. We must never forget that although Jesus is the Son of God and our Savior, he was wrapped in torn pieces of cloth and laid in a manger, because there was no room in the inn. The question is, will we make room for him now?